we're not going to.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome all to our Sunday morning worship service on this beautiful snowy winter's day. It certainly looks pretty right now. We'll see how we like it later on. Refer you to your bulletin for various announcements. Next Sunday following worship service will be our annual congregational meeting. Members are expected to attend. Non-members are very welcome to attend but may not participate in any voting. On Saturday, February 1st, we'll be gathering for a social time, enjoying some soup and games and fellowship. Please sign up on the bulletin for attendance, and if you're bringing soup, please arrive by 3:45. There's no Bible study this evening. And happy birthday this week to Sharon and to Lucy.
Woo!
Any other announcements you may have? All right. Our call to worship is from Psalm 33. We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In him, our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love rest upon us, O Lord, even as we put our hope in you. Let's begin worship with our praise song.
We stand and lift up our hands. Well, the joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. And together we sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. The earth is filled with his glory. The earth is filled with his glory. We stand and lift up our hands. The joy of the Lord is our strength. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he. Together we sing. Everyone sing. Holy is the Lord God Almighty.
Filled with his glory, the earth is filled.
Holy, 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 holy is the Lord Almighty. Holy, holy, okay, so the next song we're going to do is a new one for us. It's been a popular song, though, on the Christian radio and other places, so some of you might know it, Coming for More. And there's a part in this song where the instruments kind of go quiet, and it's supposed to be the church singing and the congregation singing. And because of the weather, we're kind of short-staffed today, so... Anybody who does know it, please help us and sing along. 'Cause I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. Why would I make a bed in my shame when I found the grace was running my way? I know I am yours. I was made for more. I wasn't made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when the fountain of grace was running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more. 'Cause I was made to be tending a grave. I was called by name, born and raised back to life again. I was made for more. So why would I make a bed in my shame when the fountain of grace was running my way? I know I am yours, and I was made for more.
We praise the Lord for our praise band, for our musicians. We praise for the beauty of the snow today and the timing of it so that we may gather here. What other praises might you have?
On Zoom from the Stansberries, a big praise. They're gathered in a beautiful place with beautiful family, enjoying the beautiful snow and celebrating their family Christmas.
Sounds wonderful.
Be back, and I do feel a lot better, but I'm so thankful for everybody's prayers and help. There was a lot of advice, and I took a lot of it, and I am thankful. Thank you.
I praise that Bill Disbrow came through his ablation procedure safely. We hope that that will cure things. Well, only time will tell.
Thank you.
Two praises. The first one is that Miss Lucy will be 7 on Friday, and we're very excited for her birthday. She is too. The second one, just a praise. I asked for prayer requests last Sunday for a baby that was born. He was born healthy on Tuesday. Mom and baby are doing well. Continued prayer as now a new challenge is taking place.
Now the fun begins. Other prayer requests? Okay, then, let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, may your names be known, praised, and honored by all. We gather to worship you. May our hearts and souls be right during this time. Lord, we thank you for healing and various procedures. We ask you for comfort and peace and healing for anyone in our congregation with physical or emotional or psychological challenges, Lord. You know who they are. May they call upon you for strength and healing and peace and comfort. Lord, we give thanks for this day that you have made, for many blessings and provisions that you provide for us continually. There are too many to count, but help us to not forget them, not take them for granted, and always give you the thanks. Lord, we often fall short of doing your will for our lives, Lord. Help us to focus on that, to try to emulate you in all that we say and do. May we pick up our cross daily, Lord, and we do that by serving you and by serving others. Help us to find and take advantage of all opportunities that you provide us with to be servants of others. Now we ask your blessing upon the message that we receive. May we understand it and apply it to our lives as we leave. Again, thank you and bless our time together as we gather to worship you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Please sing our next hymn.
Well, good morning. Well, I'm glad that I get to share this morning with you. For those who braved the weather, and if you're chilly, don't worry. I'll make sure I take care of you. I'll just warm up the sanctuary with my hot air this morning. All right. Anyway, all right. So, before we moved here to Pennsylvania, I worked as a part-time as a hospital chaplain. I was a level one trauma center. I would work on Thursday nights, and it was usually the worst night of the week that the trauma room would be full because of all kinds of bad decisions on people's parts. But anyway, I found out at 2 a.m. I have about that much compassion for DUIs. When I was done, I'd go back up to the chaplain's office. We had a ready room, and I'd be wound up. So I'd turn on the TV, and I'd be channel surfing a little bit. And I remember stopping on one channel, And there was this pastor dressed in a bright red suit, wearing red suede shoes, and telling this giant congregation that all they had to do was send in their money and they would get a prayer and they would become rich. And I remember staring at that screen just horrified. See, the one thing I've learned, and the one thing, you know, as I've been noodling at for, you know, a little more than a decade, is that that kind of theology does not work in a hospital. Because, you know, as a chaplain, if I go into somebody's room, or when I was deployed and I talked to a young soldier and said, well, if you had only said the right prayers and only believed the right things, this wouldn't have happened to you. The interpretation is wrong. How we interpret Scripture, how we interpret life is important. And so that's why interpretation, you know, is the title here. The interpretation requires us to put all of our experiences through a filter. And that filter is important. That interpretation is important. It's how we, it allows us to make sense of the world that we live in. The importance of how we filter, how we interpret, cannot be understated. And what I have come to find in my ministry here, especially in working with folks that have, in their worst day of their lives, I mean, let's be honest, no one goes, well, do I go to Hershey Park or do I go to the hospital? You know what? I think I'll go to the hospital. That sounds like more fun today. Who does that? No one. So, here I am doing ministry with people's worst days, right? And the thing is that I've had to learn how to, how do we filter? How do we make, how do we understand the world we have lived in, the lives we have lived? When I'm working with Vietnam vets, how do they interpret not only their, the war that they went to, but how they were treated when they came home? So what I have found that every interpretation that we make has to be filtered through the Great Commandment. Has to be filtered through the Great Commandment. So what do I mean by that? So whether you are reading Scripture, trying to understand what it is that God or his representatives are doing or saying, how to understand the events in your life, how to act, how to feel, how to even interact with every person you meet, it must be interpreted through the Great Commandment. So let's look at it. I apologize. I always use the English Standard Version. I'm not sure which version is up going to be up on the screen. I apologize for that. I should have mentioned that, but either way. So, our scripture then. As one of the scribes came up and heard them disputing with one another, and seeing that he, Jesus, answered them well, asked him, "Which commandment is the most important of all?" Well, Jesus answered, "The most important is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these." And the scribe said to him, "Well, you're right, teacher. You have truly said that he is one, that there is no one others beside him. And to love him with all the heart and with all the understanding and all the strength, and to love one's neighbor as oneself, is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And when Jesus saw that he answered wisely, he said to him, "Well, you are not far from the kingdom of God." And after that, no one dared to ask him any more questions. And so that first part then, right? So the Lord our God is one, that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. So heart, we got to understand is that we have a modern understanding of, you know, I'll just put Jesus in my heart. I'll just tuck him away and hide him in there, you know, so no one can see. But that's not the Jewish understanding of the heart. See, the heart is the central part of you. Everything proceeds from the heart. And that's why it's important, just follow your heart. You know, that all depends. What have you put in there? You're putting all the desires of the world in there, well, then that's just going to lead you astray. I mean, other places in Scripture say, don't trust the heart, right? You have to put, but if you put Jesus in your heart, that means he is at the center of your entire being. And the soul, the Jews called the soul a person's wind, right? It ultimately is your soul, is your spirit, it's who you are, right? Every one of us, I mean, with the exception of, male and female, essentially, with that exception, what difference is there between us? Nothing, really, as human beings. But what separates us is our spirit. It is who we are. It is our identity. It is our character. It is what we mold into who we are. Or, better yet, allow God to mold us into who we are. And that your mind must be captured by God. From our thoughts come our actions, right? And for our thoughts to be pleasing to God, you must interpret your thoughts through that great commandment, which leads us to strength. That if Jesus is sitting on the throne of your heart, commanding all of your actions, that if your entire identity is to be focused upon God, causing your thoughts to be focusing on those things that are pleasing to God, then your actions in pleasing God has to be with your entire strength. So why is all this important? Is it because, it's because in that first commandment we find life. And as Paul wrote to the church in Rome in Romans 10, the word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. Because if you confess Jesus with your mouth, that he is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Paul puts no other, qualifier on that. To love God is to be saved. I mean, the only way into the new creation, to the promises that we find at the end of Revelation, from the promises that Jesus has given us, the only way there is not to be a good person, for whatever that means. You can't earn your way into God's good graces. It's not going to be like in some other religions and mythologies that, God will take your soul and as long as it's lighter than a feather, then you'll go to heaven. No. It is by loving God that is the only stipulation that God has placed upon us, is to love him. Everything begins and ends with God. And so there are many, I mean, ultimately, as I said, people say that they're good people. Well, I'm a good person, and I'm like, based on what standard? What makes you think that you can say you're a good person? I mean, Jesus said, well, who's good? Only God is good. Because ultimately, God is not worried about if you're a good person or not. He only wants you in the new creation if you want to be there. And to be there is to love him in the same way he has already loved us first. And so ultimately, the commandment of us loving God is to tell us how to reciprocate the love that he has already shown us. We don't have to earn his love. It's already there for us to take. And so we have now then the why, right? We are to love God, to love Jesus, because that is the only measure by which we are judged righteous. But then there is also a how. How we show our love to God is just as important, just as important as confessing our love for God. I mean, if it wasn't important, then why would Jesus even bring it up? I mean, by these two commandments, right? So the second commandment is as important as the first. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And I know, I'm pretty sure you, has anyone here not heard the story of the Good Samaritan? Right? We've all heard the story. I mean, it's a story that Jesus illustrates who is your neighbor, how you love them. And by that very theme of loving your neighbor is often repeated through Scripture. Understand this, if you once you put in your mind the great commandments, when you read Scripture, you see these themes. Love God, love others, continually being repeated. I mean, the Apostle John, he writes in his first letter, right? John 1, he goes, "For this is the message you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another." Or Paul, in his letter to the church to Philippi, to the city of Philippi, or otherwise known as Philippians, where he says, if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, there's the second commandment. Ultimately, they're quoting the great commandment, following the teaching of Jesus, especially when he said on the night of his betrayal, if you love me, you will follow my commandment. And this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. And the story I always go to when, in Jesus and loving others. Because ultimately, not only by what Jesus has said, but how he lived out his life, the story I always go to is the story of the 10 lepers. I mean, 10 lepers, right? They show up with Jesus and they say, "Master, heal us." And he goes, "I don't know, do you tithe? Are you good Jews? Are you good men? Do you deserve my help?" Oh, wait, he didn't say any of that, did he? He said nothing. He just healed them. And then said, "Okay, by the law, you guys go get yourself checked out." He didn't try to, he knew what kind of men they were. Only one come back. Only one came back to praise God. He knew that was going to happen, and he didn't bother to find, he's like, okay. I mean, he certainly didn't say to them, "Well, God only helps those who help themselves." Never did he say that. I mean, and so how is that, how do I interpret that? How do I do that in my own ministry? How do I do that in a hospital setting or in a military setting? Well, I've done that by being present, fully present in a room with an angry lesbian who was angry at God, angry at what I represented, not being able to understand why her long-term girlfriend would leave her because she found Jesus. I sat there not in judgment, but being present with her to show her what Jesus' love looked like. Not that I was going to be there to condone how she lives her lifestyle, but I got to start where Jesus started. How do I help? And by that method, maybe you'll see God's love. I mean, I've seen that through these Vietnam vets that I take care of. the ones who have seen so much horror in their lives, the ones who not only, you know, who came home and were alienated from their own communities for the sole sin of coming home alive. Through that filter, through that interpretation, I'm helping them to be able to find forgiveness. Forgiveness in their own lives. And being able ultimately to accept the forgiveness of God. Because they felt like they never deserved it. Interpretation. Love God by loving others. It allows me to navigate life with only minimal personal distress. Understand that, you know, my interpretations, my theology, the framework I work with is fairly orthodox. I don't like the liberal Christians, and I don't like, you know, super conservative Christians, because I don't want to be part of those camps. I want to be a part of the camp of Jesus. Jesus, whose greatest words, his greatest words have always started with, "How can I help? What would you like me to do for you?" How many times has that happened in Scripture? How many people, "Jesus, heal me," and he's like, "What do you want me to do for you?" "Well, make me see, make me walk." I can do that. That's the character of Jesus. And the thing is that if there is anything that troubles me, if there's anything that bothers me, it's that those who call themselves Christians and they don't live by the great commandment. Ignoring this commandment. I mean, as followers of Jesus, we are called to be different. We are called to love, you know, and that our love for others must be different. For as Jesus even said, "Love your enemies. Pray for those who persecute you." And he continues, "For if you love those who love you, then what reward do you have?" And we can see how important this is to Jesus through his response to the scribe. When the scribe goes, "Yeah, you know, exactly what you said, that you love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, with all the strength to love one's neighbor as yourself is much more than all of the whole burnt offerings and sacrifices." And it's that last part what I want to focus on, right? That living the great commandment is much more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. If you know what that means, I'm going to briefly summarize. From the beginning of Genesis, from the offerings of Cain and Abel, that first recorded offerings to God through the law of Moses, where the first fruits were offered to God, the sacrifices of bulls and goats as sin offerings, or in other words, the physical demonstrations of people's devotion to God, like tithing, like showing up to church on a snowy Sunday morning. While these things are important, these things are meaningless if you are not following the great commandment. Let me say that again. Putting your money in the tithe box, showing up just on a Sunday morning to worship, if you are not living out the great commandment, then you might as well not show up. Because what's the point? I mean, I know that the world seems to be crashing around us, right? You turn on the TV and you see all kinds of horrible things. The world is literally burning around us if you're living in California. We've had hurricanes. Hurricanes, fires. We've got, strange, bizarre snow patterns. You know, I've seen memes where there are people in the South going, hey, folks in the North, your weather is in our yards. Come and get it. We have communities and families being torn apart because of politics. And that the words of Paul to the church in Rome, for though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks to him, but they became futile in their thinking and their foolish hearts were darkened. That God gave them up to dishonorable passions. Well, this is being played out again 2,000 years later. We're still playing the same tired song. But these are not your problems. These are not your problems. These problems belong to God. What God has called you to do, what he's called me to do, is to love him. He has expressed that for you to love him is to love everyone you meet, showing each other the same kindness, mercy, and compassion that he has already shown you. Understand that God ain't fair. What do we deserve? For the lives that we live, what do we deserve? We all deserve to go to hell. Ain't no one of it, not one of us is good enough to earn our way into heaven. God's not fair. God has chosen to not be fair with you. Instead, he has shown you mercy. Instead, we all want justice, but God is the one who gives justice. He instead has given us mercy. It ain't fair. So hold in your hearts and minds, hold it there, that God sent his Son to walk among us, to die for us on the cross, not because of burnt offerings and sacrifices, not because we were especially good people. He came and died for us because he loves us. So put yourself in your shoes. Think about the people, person, the group of people that you dislike the most. Sacrifice yourself for them. That's what God's greatest miracle is. It's not raising people from the dead. It's not feeding the 5,000. It's not healing of diseases. Think about that. We're not especially good people, human beings. And God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son to die for each and every one of us while we were still enemies of God. He died for us. So as you leave this place, as you go out and start your daily routines, I want you to interpret the world through the eyes of God so that we can confidently live up to the words of that old hymn and that they will know we are Christians by our love. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, Lord, as we look through history, look through our own day and age, it's just as difficult as it was 2,000 years ago as it is today to honor you and to be loyal to you and to show that same love that you have shown us. So I ask, Lord, for your Spirit upon us, that we're able to see the world as you see it, that every person that we meet is an opportunity to show your love and to be able to guide those people to your throne. Help us, Lord, to be able to navigate the ups and downs of our days. And help us to be light and salt to the world around us. And this I pray in your most holy name.
in the name of Jesus. Amen. Before I close in prayer, I was talking to some vets in recovery not too long ago, and as I was saying to them, I can't personally change the world, but I might be there to help change yours. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, the privilege is ours to be called to share in the loving, healing, and reconciling mission of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, in this age and wherever we are. Since without you we can do no good thing, may your Spirit make us wise. May your Spirit guide us. May your Spirit renew us, and may your Spirit strengthen us, so that we will be strong in the faith, discerning in proclamation, courageous in witness, and persistent in good deeds. And this we ask of the same Jesus Christ our Lord. And may the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God, and of his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a blessed rest of your week and be safe traveling home.